Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Got a packed show. Fridays with Feinstein comes up at 8. Comedian Jim Norton in studio at 8:20. And he's sold out already.
He is.
DC Love having Jim, owner of all-time favorites. Also, Steve Lapis, CBS Sports College Hoops analyst. He'll join us at 9. But when you do hear Newfound Glory on the show, generally it means Kevin McCarthy joins us.
KB. Right.
Hello, Kevin.
Kevin.
Good morning, my friend. By the way, I want to say, and everybody who listens to the show knows that Eric Bickle and I, we joke around, and Eric will make fun of me and like say mean things, but he sent me a nice birthday message yesterday on Facebook, and I wanted to say thank you for that.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you, Eric.
Happy belated birthday. I did not send you a message on Facebook.
We are still trying to confirm whether or not Bickle is in Florida, because someone tweeted us that his flight was canceled last night coming out of Florida to Atlanta, so we're trying to confirm that.
Wait, you guys haven't gotten a hold of him? He's not even there?
The thing about Eric is he has actually a week of vacation starting today, so we weren't going to see him regardless. Like, if he was healthy and flew back with us, he was off today and then through Thursday of next week, I believe.
Well, yesterday I got birthday messages from Eric Bickle, Dwayne Johnson, and Ryan Reynolds, but none of you guys else, no one else sent me any other messages.
Happy birthday.
How would I know?
I'm just not a guy that just sends out, like I'm guessing EB did like the Facebook happy birthday. Like, a million people do that. You got to do that every day of your life if you have more than, like every day there's going to be two or three people that you know that have a birthday.
Hey, apparently Jeff Goldblum made time to send Kevin birthday wishes. That's kind of big time.
Good.
Yeah,
you
know, so I woke up this morning and I...
Oh, yes. It's a beautiful sound.
Well, I can tell you, Pacific Rim, which is the one movie that he's going to review, there's no way it's higher than a 2.5.
Hold on, Kevin, let me just say this before you review Pacific Rim. Sicario 2 comes out, I think, in late spring, maybe early summer.
Okay.
I'm psyched.
Oh, that's going to be so good. That's going to be so
good. By the way, the first Sicario movie is one of the best movies that's come out in years. And that filmmaker, Denis Villeneuve, has not made a bad film. I mean, like, Prisoners, Sicario, the guy is amazing. And I'm a little worried about, like, I don't know about you, Jason, at the end of Sicario 1, I didn't think to myself, man, I really want a sequel to that. Like, you know, I can't, it's such a brutal experience, but I guess I'm now interested in the whole Benicio del Toro arc, because the end of Sicario was so brutal. He's at that table with the family.
Great scene. Amazing scene.
He pummels the kid. Pummels the entire family.
That. June 29th is the release date.
Oh, so it's late June.
You remember, like, sitting in the theater and, like, seeing him, like do that in that scene? If you haven't seen the movie, I don't want to spoil it, but that scene at the end with Del Toro and that whole family is just...
Well, if you haven't seen
God.
The movie, I just ask you, what are you doing with your life?
I mean, it came out how many years ago? I think you can spoil it if you have
to. That's a great movie. And by the way, that movie, I don't believe that movie was in the bracket challenge for AWOD's movie thing, movie bracket deal.
No, there were some idiotic movies.
It was only
in that.
Movies of the 2000s, from 2000 to 2010, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was 2000.
After the year 2000.
Yeah, 2000.
After
the year 2000.
It should have been in
Get
there.
Get Out was on there.
Yeah, it was on it?
No, he put Get Out on there.
A Get Out, right. That's right, because Get Out was on it.
By the way, if that list didn't include Children of Men, then that list means nothing. If that movie was not on that list.
75% of the movies in the bracket sucked.
AWOD said it is on there, but I have no idea what Children of Men is, who's in it.
Clive Owen.
No idea what it's about.
I didn't see Sicario, but who knows?
Case. Every once in a while, step out of your box and enjoy great films. Like, how have you not seen Children of Men? It was like one of the best movies of like the early
2000s. I don't think I'm alone in here.
I haven't seen it either.
Kevin, let me ask you this before we get the Pacific Rim Uprising. I want you to comment on my move. So Jason for weeks has been telling me, and you said it's a great movie, and I planned on seeing it. I just hadn't gotten around it to see Three Billboards, right?
Yeah.
Three Billboards was nominated for Best Picture. And so on our flight back from West Palm Beach, which was supposed to be a little longer than 2 hours, through American Airlines, although Cakes couldn't figure it out, he thought he needed a nap, I was able to watch the movie. Except the flight went really fast, and I only watched an hour and 42 minutes of the movie, meaning I missed the last 10 minutes. And I was on such a hook, thank you, Bruce, that I just asked Jason and Drab what happened at the end, and they refused to tell me. And then I asked Cakes, and listen to this, 2 weeks ago he saw it, didn't remember.
Couldn't remember.
So then I just looked it up. Is that an awful move?
It's a pretty bad move. I mean, I, if I were you, I would have gone back and sought the movie out and finished the ending. I mean, I feel like it's a good enough movie to have gone out of your way to finish it.
It's a very good movie, but I was just so into it at the moment, I had to find out, like, then.
No, listen, I get that. I mean, here's the thing. That movie's been out for a while. It's not like, I don't know, there's certain films that have a sacredness to them in regards to, like, figuring out the ending or waiting to find out the ending. I don't think that the ending of Three Billboards is like one of those shocker endings, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I think to me, I would have probably thought it out, but yeah, I understand the need to want to know the ending. Totally. By the way, Cakes, the Bung Bung Beach.
What's the now? That. When you say you missed the last 10 minutes, did you see the bar scene?
I saw the original bar scene.
No, but you didn't see Sam Rockwell go back in the bar and sit next to the guy that.
I did see that scene when he scraped him and collected the DNA. I did see that one.
You saw that scene.
By the way,
okay.
Sam Rockwell, is there any, I mean, that guy is one of the best actors working today. I mean, he is just, what a performance, right? I mean, he won the Oscar finally. I mean, the guy's been, it's been interesting a movie that George Clooney directed called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind by Chuck Barris.
Of course I haven't seen that.
Chuck Barris from the Gong Show?
yeah. Dude, Rockwell played Chuck Barris in this movie that Clooney directed. It's incredibly well done, and Barris, I mean Rockwell to me, like, should have won the Oscar for that one. Like, that was, it's an amazing performance. That and a movie called Boone by Duncan Jones, the guy who directed the new movie Mute, which is on Netflix.
All right, joined by Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5 movie reviewer. Do you have any other movies besides Pacific Rim Uprising?
Yeah, I'm going to do Pacific Rim Uprising. I also want to review the Spielberg documentary. I know I'm a little bit late to the party on that one, but if you're staying home this weekend and you have HBO, it's on demand. I wanted to talk about that because it's if you're a fan of his movies, which I think everybody is, everybody's seen one. That's a documentary I highly recommend seeing. If I could jump into that first, Jimmy?
Yes.
Sure. Because Pacific Rim Uprising, am I incorrect? It's got to be a 2.5 or lower.
No, it's a little higher than that. I actually, but I think the Pacific Rim films are fun. I mean, but that, we'll get to that in a second. But Spielberg, there's a documentary on HBO. I think every one of you should watch this, even if you're not like the biggest Spielberg fan. But I think everybody can appreciate every movie he's made, from E.T. to Jurassic Park and Jaws and Indiana Jones. But this documentary filmmaker, Susan Lacy, essentially interviewed him for a long period of time. And they go through all of his films from the beginning of his career until about Bridge of Spies. Like, I think it's around the time they stopped shooting the documentary. But it's like the whole life of him and Scorsese and Coppola and Brian De Palma. I had no idea that Spielberg did some of the directing on Scarface, like in this famous shootout scene with Pacino. But if you're a fan of movies at all, I seek it out. I mean, anybody who has HBO, it's available on demand. It's about 2.5 hours. It is a longer documentary, but it goes by so fast. And they jump in and out of all of his movies. So you basically walk through, and then they brought in all the actors. So DiCaprio does an interview. There's an interview with Liam Neeson, an interview with Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. But just knowing what he went through on Jaws, like, Jaws is arguably the hardest thing he's ever shot because it was a horrible project in regards to, like, the timing. They went over budget, that it became one of the biggest hits of all time. So if I highly recommend it. The reason I watched it was because his new movie next Friday is called Ready Player One. That's coming out in theaters. So I really just kind of wanted to get a sense of, like, the whole scope of the documentary. It came out, I think, a couple months ago, but I just watched it, and it's phenomenal. So if you're staying home,
people should see the Spielberg documentary on HBO. All right, let's get to the fresh flick that's out this weekend. It's kind of a, the way I see Pacific Rim, and I didn't see the first one, is it's kind of a Transformers-like movie.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So the plot to this film, every time I think about it, I think about how much Eric Bickle would love this plot.
Yeah.
And I think, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so it checks off all the boxes of what EB likes.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So,
let's hear all the check marks for it.
All right, so the begin. So the first thing you have is gigantic sea monster called Kaiju. All right, so that these massive, like 300-400 feet monsters that are coming out of the ocean and walking through the cities and destroying cities. So
okay,
that's box one. Box two. In order to fight these massive sea creatures, you have a gigantic humanoid robot called a Jaeger. So that's going to be the second thing that Eric loves.
I mean,
it's a gigantic, massive fighting robot. Now, kind of getting in deeper to Eric's love of science fiction. There's this great element that the robots have to be piloted by two human beings who are drifting mentally. So they're inside of a gigantic robot, mentally drifting and operating this huge, massive robot. So that's box
Eric
three.
Mentally
so
drifts during Kevin's reviews all the time.
Yeah, Eric's all in by this point, right? So then you have the whole idea of the world ending and them having to save the end of the world, science fiction, creatures, aliens. I mean, it's just, to me, this is, I don't know why Eric doesn't have tickets for it or write this now, this morning. I'm going to get back to Florida.
Because he's a zombie right now.
No, but, in all seriousness, the first movie was directed by Guillermo del Toro. So del Toro just won the Academy Award for The Shape of Water. So instead of directing the sequel to the movie, he went on to do Shape of Water, and then this gentleman named Steven DeKnight. Yeah, he does, yeah. So this is 10 years later. Idris Elba was in the first one, so was Charlie Hunnam. This time around, John Boyega is the son of Idris's character. 10 years later, Scott Eastwood's in the movie as well, who's Clint Eastwood's son. He's a terrible actor. but Boyega is really, really good. So Boyega, you probably know from the Star Wars franchise, and a fantastic actor. But he holds the movie. And to me, this is like just a dumb, mindless action movie. So if you're a fan of like robotic fight scenes with massive sea monsters, which is a pretty specific thing to be a fan of, I enjoyed it. But I mean, I will say, it's funny because next week I'm giving my first 5 out of 5 for 2018, and that's a film that has the same quality of like being an over-the-top fun action film, but also had substance to it where you actually, and I'll get to that soon next week. But the movie this week, it kind of falls in that category where you go get a big tub of popcorn and a soda and just sit down and kind of just turn your brain off and just watch the action. And I know it sounds like I'm excusing the script, but to me, it's just
what
one of those
the
things.
What is
the
rating, Kevin?
I gave it a rating that I'd never given before. The one that you guys always make fun of me for.
A 3.5 out of 5.
That is correct.
3.5 out of 5.
Is there anything coming
that's
out?
Default
is there anything
rating
coming out the next, I don't know, month that'll intrigue me?
I don't know, but the one thing that I'm really excited about, I'm not sure the date on this. Maybe you can look it up. It's the new Scorsese film coming to Netflix called The Irishman, and it's going to have I think it's De Niro, Pesci. It's going to be sick because I was doing a. I was doing a conversation with my buddies of mine this week about the best Martin Scorsese movie. We're kind of going through his whole list and, you know, Mean Streets and Goodfellas, all these movies. And so Netflix, you know, you guys know Netflix is just kind of on top of their game right now. Like they're bringing out like all these massive filmmakers to make movies for their platform. And I mentioned Butte earlier, which is this Duncan Jones movie. But I think Scorsese's next movie, Jason, is probably going to be your best bet. Sicario 2 is going to be huge. Ready Player One is next week. I know. Oh, and Eric's going to be so psyched for April 27th when Avengers Infinity War hits theaters.
Can't wait.
That's Kevin McCarthy.
Thank you, Kevin.
Fox 5.
As always.
Fox and Friends.
By the way, The Irishman, which he's talking about, coming out on Netflix, 2019. So it's going to be a while.
Just a while.
Once again, I'm always amazed that Kevin, who's on Fox 5 locally, does appearances on Fox and Friends, which is, I think it's been dubbed the most powerful show in America because Donald Trump watches it. But they will talk about H.R. McMaster.
JP.
And they'll talk about the ambassador, John Bolton. And then they slide in this dog fucking movie.
It doesn't make any sense. We've unleashed this monster upon America.
All right, see you later.
Hey, you need some 5-hour energy.
No. I mean, we love five-hour energy. He's the one guy on the planet that actually doesn't need it. I need it more than he does.
Well, look at Drab. He was up until 1 a.m. watching Gonzaga get punked by Florida State.
Could he be more pale? Look at him.
He needs a 5-hour energy. Look at Cakes.
What?
He stayed up and watched the Caps and Groovy shutting out Detroit. He needs a 5-hour energy.
I probably do.
Look at JP. He stayed up and watched like the Sacramento Kings game.
He loves press conferences after games.
He needs a 5-hour.
He definitely does.
Look at AWOD. I know AWOD needs one. He went out till like 2 in the morning last night.
Am I getting any checks for all this extra work I'm doing?
He needs a 5-hour energy. And right now, 5-hour energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops Tournament, people. You've got the ability to swap your incorrect selections in your brackets during the tournament as the game is being played. You see an upset in the making? No big deal. Swap the favorite out to ensure your bracket is 100% correct. You could have done it last night. 3 underdogs went outright. Go to 5hourenergybrackets.com. That's 5hourenergybrackets.com or click on the link on the fandc.com's homepage, people.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, a little update on E-Zombie. Of course, he didn't fly home with us from National Spring Training because he went to the woods. Maybe he had food poisoning. Maybe he came down with the virus. We don't know. But he missed the show on Wednesday morning. And then we flew back on Wednesday without EB.
We did, yes.
We talked to him yesterday, and he kind of filled us in on the paramedics and the whole scene. And he was scheduled to fly out right around 7 o'clock last night from West Palm. Apparently, he was going to be flying to Atlanta and then from Atlanta to D.C. What we learned is he apparently was rerouted and landed in Baltimore. His car, of course, in D.C., so that is a monkey wrench, but he did make it home last night.
Yes.
And I think he's going to pick up his car today.
So he kind of got hooked because he didn't have to fly into Atlanta and get on another plane. So he went straight to Baltimore.
That I'm not sure of.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure of the exact routing, but I do know he's home. And
damn, I was hoping it was worse than that.
What I heard is that he might actually stop by because he's going to do something with his kid. I don't know the exact schedule.
Well, he can come by and do the second half of the show. He can do it from 8 to 10. Tell him to get his ass in here.
I'm sure he's going to do that. He's coming in.
Do you want that sickly guy here, though?
No.
I don't care.
That's the thing.
I have not seen that person since he went ill. I don't need to get any of the residue that he's carrying around, even if he's 80%. Want him to recuperate, get better.
Did my duty. His friend checked in on him. Said, how you doing? He said he was doing better. We talked to him yesterday.
Sent him a text yesterday. Yeah. Said, safe travels. Hope you feel better. I'll see you in mid-April.
Well, you know that I didn't.
I know you did not.
Because I have this reputation of just hating everybody. So.
You're a grump.
That's the deal.
I don't know if it's hating.
I'm not grumpy today.
You're not grumpy today. It's payday.
Well, it's always nice to have a paycheck, but it's a Friday. I actually have to drive to Richmond. I got to drive to Richmond today at about, I don't know, probably 1:30. I probably got to leave.
You ever go visit your old dorm? Take the kids by, say, this is where I live.
No, but my daughter has a high school softball tournament in Richmond. That's going to be fun. It's going to be 45 degrees all weekend.
Well, I think you may be in a better mood because I'm pretty sure this paycheck is the paycheck with the fees in it.
Well, we'll see.
Because I looked at my check. It's a little bit swollen.
Apparently, Cakes,
some extra energy.
Apparently, Cakes did like 9,000 spots in the last month.
I guess I did.
Unbelievable.
I can't explain it.
Real quick, I don't know what you have planned here. I just wanted to mention, so Mo from Largo did call up and he congratulated Denny McCarthy. Now,
right.
It was the first round of a tournament. Our buddy Denny McCarthy, local kid from Silver Spring, went to UVA. We had him in studio a few months ago, but playing on the PGA Tour. He played in the in Punta Cana yesterday in the Corral. I believe it was called the Corrales Championship. It's kind of the alternative PGA Tour event opposite the WGC match play. And he did play very well. I think he had 7 birdies, Valdez. He was playing with Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Tony Romo had the sponsor's exemption. He's playing in this tournament as an amateur. And the Golf Channel followed Tony Romo and his group the entire day.
Right,
so Denny got some serious TV run, which was good for him. It kind of tilted me a little bit because they showed a little bit too much Tony Romo. I mean, they were showing Tony Romo talking to his caddy for 10 minutes. I just wasn't interested.
So he shot a 77?
Tony Romo shot a 77, and I believe Denny shot a 66. I could be wrong on that, but hopefully Denny can finish strong through the weekend and make a nice paycheck because he needs it. Valdez, did you watch any of that?
No, I watched the match play, and then I just switched over to College Hoops and then went to bed.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of the Punta Cana stuff.
Yeah, that was on before WGC. By the way, did you know, I found this out yesterday. So Denny's a member at the Medalist Club, where Tiger's a member.
Yeah.
Okay. Down there in Jupiter.
Big time.
Kerry Shore is the head pro.
Yes.
Who used to be at RTJ.
Who used to be your friend.
Who used to be my friend, but doesn't like to hang out with me anymore. Anyway, so Ricky Fowler is also a member at the Medalist.
Mm-hmm.
6 straight years in the member guest at the Medalist Club, Ricky Fowler has won that event, that tournament.
Ricky.
All right, every club has a member mm-hmm. guest a tournament, right? Ricky Fowler's won it 6 straight years. 2018, Denny McCarthy took him down.
Really? He took the title away. Good for him.
Denny McCarthy took down Ricky Fowler in the member guest.
That's cool.
Pretty cool story.
Local guy. Root for him. I'll think about him when I wear the Nike lid he gave us.
He's got to ship us some more, I think.
I wonder who wins.
Where's
the
our
member
Puma
guest
gear?
At Laytonsville, where I like to go.
It's not a guy in the PGA Tour. I'll tell you that.
Probably not.
Hold on.
Most likely.
What did Valdez just ask?
I said, where's our Puma gear? Spring's getting ready to come. Oh, I need some new.
Did we order a shipment? It just hasn't shown up.
I never got the catalog.
Well, there's a little bit of an issue with that.
Oh, there
Has
is.
Pete moved on?
No, Pete hasn't moved on. I don't know if I want to tell the story.
I think you should.
Valdez knows the story.
Is it gonna damage like relationships? Is it gonna ruffle feathers?
I think one relationship might already be damaged.
Well, then what's the harm in
because
the
it's
story?
It's not officially damaged. I can't get into it. I'll tell you off air. I can't get into it right now.
During the break.
I feel horrible about it. I'm embarrassed by it.
Oh, it's so a good off air tease.
I don't want to say anything on the air.
Can I recap it on Twitter?
No.
Oh.
In fact, I'm not gonna tell you.
I think
I know what it'll be
actually,
on Twitter.
You probably abused the horns.
Come on,
and the horns have come to an end.
You can trust your boy.
I think it would be good to talk about it on air.
I don't think so.
It might be cathartic.
Well,
it might rebuild some bridges.
Yeah, I think it would rebuild the bridges.
Oh.
Whatever you want to do. The ball is in your court.
It's Jason. Ultimately, it's Jason's
decision.
It's
okay. I don't want a ratings bonus or anything. That's okay. I can do without.
I don't think I can't get into it right now. I'm sorry. I just can't. I don't think it's the right time to do it.
But when the time is right, you're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
You're going to be singing like a canary.
Valdez, you're putting me in a bad spot.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right. So the NCAA tournament, we talked about the upsets, Loyola Chicago advancing last night with another 1-point win. They've got 3 wins by a total of 4 points. And then 2 9 seeds, Kansas State and Florida State, have advanced. Michigan wins last night.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up, though, this story about kind of criticism growing towards the producers of the NCAA tournament and get your take on this. So there's more and more criticism that they're showing kids crying and exploiting kids crying because of the Heartbreakers.
This is really a story.
Yes, and it is funny because I remember watching, I can't remember which game it was, where they showed this one kid all fired up at the end of the game because he looked like he won. It might have been the first Loyola Chicago game. And then there was a buzzer beater at the end, and then he was heartbroken. And they were focusing on just this innocent kid who's in the crowd, and they're doing it over and over again. Here's like an example of a tweet. Shame on True TV for showing this young boy crying last night. I hope little man knows it's awesome. I have so much love and passion for something. Apparently a young Sun Devil fan who appeared emotional at the end of the broadcast.
Was it drab?
When Arizona State lost.
Right, is it drabby?
Surprising, they're out.
They showed him. He actually was the son of an athletic trainer
there.
They were
out early.
So what's your take on that? Do you think it's okay to show these kids?
Here's my take.
Boo-hooing?
Stop being snowflakes, everybody. Crying is part of sports. And if the camera catches a kid crying or an adult crying.
It's that they hone in on them.
So yeah.
Like right now for Loyola Chicago, hone in on the 98-year-old. What's her name?
Sister Jean,
whatever. Okay, so they hone in on her. But now there's just a 10-year-old kid who's a fan. His team's up by 2 points. He thinks they're advancing. He's all on fire. They show him. And then 2 minutes later, a three-pointer at the buzzer, and they show him crying.
It's a life lesson. Well, life isn't always fair. Sometimes the team that you root for loses.
So you think it's okay.
If you want to chime in, okay.
You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Line, 800-636-1067. Are they exploiting children for ratings?
The one that I noticed, I believe it was the Cincinnati-Nevada game. Because Cincinnati had a 22-point lead and blew that. Choke job.
Sure.
That's what it was. And blew that lead and lost to Nevada by 2. And I think it was that game, but they kept showing a kid in the crowd.
Yeah.
And was that the game?
It was a Cincy kid.
It was a Cincy kid. And they showed him probably 8 times.
Okay.
And, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it.
He's a spectator. He's in the crowd. He's going to be caught on camera.
I think it's great that a kid gets that into. This kid was probably 10 or 11.
Right.
I think it's great that he was into his team, that the loss hurt him.
Yeah, but here's what's happening. And if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. The kid crying on TV becomes a GIF. It then becomes a whole social media thing.
So was he going to get bullied at school?
Well, apparently,
is that what they're worried about?
Apparently, crying ASU kid was trending.
That's the time we live in.
Then he's going to get killed by everybody at his school.
Who cares?
His life may be changed forever.
Oh, his life's changed forever because he's crying in a basketball game. Please.
Yeah, I don't get into it.
CBS or True TV or whoever features a crying kid or crying adult, of course it's okay.
Hey,
why is everybody so sensitive?
It's not our kids. If it was our kids, we might feel differently. They're not our kids.
You know what? If it was my kid, it's fine. Show him crying.
You'd be bitter.
Show my daughter crying about the Caps losing.
You'd be bitter.
And she does it every spring.
If all of Twitter was mocking your kid.
Oh, my God.
Well,
people
that's what
are
I just
so
said.
So sensitive.
That's what I just said.
Well, I think it's fine, but it's a March Madness thing. They don't do this in the NFL playoffs. They don't do it for any other sporting event.
Okay, they should limit it to the 18-year-old plus crowd. To take a 10-year-old and bury them, they become a joke.
Let me ask you a question. Why don't they do it in other sports? Why don't they do it in college football? They don't do it in college football. You're right. They do it in college hoops.
And apparently they've ramped it up this year, according to people who follow
it. Maybe it's easier for the cameras to catch them because there's less crowds, but smaller crowds.
What about the trumpet player? The crying trumpet player?
I don't remember the trumpet player.
Well, it's was Villanova.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
But the trumpet player, I'm guessing, is an adult.
Yeah, she was an adult. Yeah.
She was a student.
The point is, these are 10-year-olds or 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds.
Who was it last year during the Northwestern?
The Northwestern kid.
Was the Northwestern Gonzaga game?
Yeah, and he was like, I don't know, 10, 12.
Yeah, and they showed him crying for like 20 minutes.
And I saw that gif yesterday. People were still mocking this
kid. Oh, yeah. Again, if it was our kid, we'd be pissed off.
Of course,
not our kids. I don't care. We got a kid about the dumb kid in Cincinnati.
Hey, if you don't want your kid featured, keep him at home. Have him watch on the big 65-incher. You take him to the arena, they're going to be part of the experience. And that could include being goofed on.
I never understand why people say Cakes is the nice guy.
First of all, sack up a little bit and stop crying at a sporting event. Okay, it's not life or death. Okay, it's a hoops game.
Yeah, but
okay, remember when you were that age.
Who knows with Cakes because he was a vagabond.
I don't know if he's going to tell us the truth or not.
I didn't cry over Caps or Wizards losses.
You've never cried. You've never
when
had a tear in your eye after a big loss.
You were that into a team?
I don't believe that.
I don't even think as a kid I cried over a sports team losing a big game. It's what I'm used to. It's what I know.
Let's go to the phones. Yeah. Paul is in Solomon's Island.
I think you've admitted to having a tear in your eye after a loss.
Paul's on line one.
Not as a kid, as an adult.
You're on with the junkies.
Not sure about that.
What do you think, Paul?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
What's the difference about the family they interviewed yesterday with the girl who was crossing the street waiting on 210 in Indian Head Highway, and they showed her mother and son, her mother and brother crying? What's the difference between that and showing a fan in the stands crying?
I didn't see that particular piece, but what I would say with the fans in the stand, I just draw the line at the kids. I feel bad for a 10-year-old who loves his team, loves whoever the heck they're rooting for, Arizona State. Loves the team. They're just an innocent kid. And then he gets crushed on social media and on TV.
It's called a life lesson.
If they're over 18, okay,
fine. I think
fine.
It's a great life lesson. Fine. Your team doesn't win every game. At some point, you're going to have to deal with it and process it emotionally.
Heartless kids.
And at some point, you're not going to be crying and boo-hooing about your team losing.
Let's go to line
three.
Unless
you drab T-shirt. He cries all the time.
In Temple Hills. Fred, you're on with the junkies. What do you think?
Morning, Junks. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence about it because on one hand, that meme will follow you and it will crush you. But on the other hand, like my son, he played on a poop team this year.
Uh-huh.
And every time they got killed in the game, a little piece of me died with him every time he cried. So, I mean, it depends on the situation. Like you guys said, if it's your kid, you can probably let it go.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Look, I'm not saying you can't cry at sporting events. Just don't get upset if you become featured in a meme or a GIF. And I'm not saying I never cry. I cry at movies and stupid TV shows all the time. So, I'm not acting like a tough guy.
Social media, man.
Social media
is such a freaking monster.
It's a race to the bottom.
It really is.
It's what it is. But I love it. Money Metal Kids.
You can't live without it.
Well, I don't know if I can't live without it.
I know Bickle can.
But I definitely use it.
I know Bickle can.
All right, remember, Jim Nord's going to join us in studio coming up at 8:20, one of our favorite comedians. And we have John Feinstein with Fridays with Feinstein coming up at 8 o'clock here on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Got a packed final 2 hours of the show. John Feinstein joining us at 8 o'clock for Fridays with Feinstein. Sometimes contentious, but generally fun.
Always good. Always good back and forth between us and John.
Then, our pal Jim Norton, comedian, is going to join us in studio. Then we got Steve Lapis, former Villanova coach. We'll talk Final Four. Villanova plays tonight. They're one of the two remaining one seeds live. So we'll talk some NCAA tournament. Apparently, there's commotion going on. I was unaware of it. Awad apparently is puking his guts out as we speak.
Yeah, I think he had too much evening.
Oh, now he's back. Now
he
he's
too
back.
Much evening last night. And I was in the break room with drab T-shirt, and he comes up to me. He goes in hushed tones. He goes, "Hey, is Awad in the bathroom?" I was like, "He might be," because somebody was in the stall, definitely deucing. And he's like, "He's hungover last night. I think he's still drunk."
So I saw him this morning, and EB like pummels him every day about his belly, whatever. I think the kid looks fine generally, but today he did look like he got run over by a truck when we walked to like the cafeteria.
Here's what I don't understand.
I was just like, "You definitely went out last night." And he said, "Yes." He went to Barbow. Remember I gave him that $50 gift card?
Yes.
So he's already burned through the $50 gift card.
Here's what I don't understand.
And he burned through the $50 gift card.
Here's why he's a terrible person. Because, as you mentioned, we got those gift cards, and you gave them to him.
He didn't even say thank you at the time. I had to tell him, like a kid, to remind my son. Like, if you give my son a birthday present, I have to remind him, say thank you. You shouldn't have to do that to an adult.
Not only does he burn through the gift cards you gave him, then he re-raises by contacting the owner of both establishments and saying, "Can you hook me and
so
all
brazen.
My freeloader drunk friends at your spot?"
He's learning from the best.
And I guess the guy's nice enough to do it and was plying him and his buddies with shots all night.
Have you brushed your teeth or had any mouthwash?
No.
I'm almost
How do you leave the house like that?
I did before I left the house, and then in the Uber ride, I was sick, and then when I got here, I was sick.
Did you want to smell his breath?
No. I just wondered how many girls.
Hold up.
How much would it take a girl
rewind.
To come down here and make out with him?
Wow, it would be a lot. Thousands. You'd have to find it. It would look like a good prize.
Would a girl do it for like $500?
No.
I don't know.
They'd be stupid to do it for $500.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
You don't think a girl would come down here and make out with them for 10 seconds for $500?
They might. Who's got $500, though?
Well, I've got it in the bank, but I'm not willing to part with it.
Right.
And then, isn't Cakes' paycheck all swole?
That's true. Swole,
and I have my MGM National Harbor poker bag. I do have $500 in chips.
Yeah, they got to go cash him at MGM.
Give him chips.
Jason, I smelled his breath earlier.
Yeah.
Because he was telling me he was hungover.
I
wanted to know if I could smell alcohol on him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, his breath smelled like an old fashioned.
Yeah, yeah. How many shots do you think you did last night? I can't believe you even got up.
I think 10.
10?
How did you even get up?
Ricky, listen to me. Why would you do that on a Thursday night? I know you're young. And
because he wanted to watch games.
Why can't you wait till Friday? Today is Friday. Today is the day to do the 10 shots and sleep in tomorrow.
I know, but I was only planning to watch the early games, you know? They were, you know, it was going to get home by 10. It was going to be an easy night.
Right.
And Chuck Lee, you know, owner of Pamplona, he put us through the entire tasting menu.
Right.
He brought us quiche and potatoes and steak and course after course. And then in between each course, it was, oh, here's another shot of Jameson. Oh, for the boys.
Well, you know when you do you know when you do the first shot of Jameson, your night's going to be ruined.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was silly. I mean, there was...
I'm sure you
dimes
had fun.
Everywhere.
I'm sure you had fun.
Somebody tweeted us a picture of you talking to a chick. There's actually a one pretty attractive girl, and I think the caption was, "Will he close?"
Of course he didn't. He was too busy freeloading, getting the tasting menu. Did you at least leave a nice tip?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, we hooked up the guys from Pamplona. They were awesome to us all night.
All the quiche from Pamplona is in the toilet right now.
Yeah,
all that hard work.
Potatoes.
Spoiled.
How many times have you puked?
Four.
Oh,
that's a show.
And again, he
but,
took
now I'm like,
how dumb is it though? The guy has no money. He's broke. Okay, it's fine. You used gift cards that I gave to you last week.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But here's the thing that's stupid. He took an Uber to work. So like he doesn't have any money and he's having to spend what little money he has.
He doesn't. He's not good
to
with
go
his
to
money.
Work.
I mean, I had to get here. I had to be part of the show.
I will give
but
you
again,
credit for
Kate
getting
said,
here. If you actually had a little foresight, you would have said, you know what? Not going to do this Thursday night. Let's go hard on Friday night.
Or you go hard.
Or you don't have to go to work the next day.
Or you go hard Saturday night. Sleep in Sunday.
Yeah, I know. But when there's girls in front of you, Lurch, you can't turn down shots. I mean, when there's girls taking shots, you
what
take
girls?
Them with
Didn't
them.
You go out with your boys?
Yeah, but there was a birthday party there filled with sillies. It was a show.
By the way, do you know what the irony is?
What's
the irony
that?
Is that yesterday... was everyone congratulating Adam for doing such a great job.
Right.
And his videos are turning out to be awesome.
I already
and
noticed it's dying down. Nothing on Facebook this morning. Nothing on Twitter.
Well,
and then this is today.
Can you post from a bathroom stall with your head in the toilet?
Whereas it was like once an hour when he was away from Drab. Yesterday it died down a little bit to like two in the show. And today is zippy.
No, I think yesterday was a good day. Today, I mean... I'm going to post videos. I'm just trying to, you know, get through the struggle right now.
Can you? How confident do you have to be to come to work pummeled and not do any videos?
I'm doing the videos. I have actually Lurch's Sweet 16 recap.
Think about
coming
this.
Out.
My own Sweet 16 recap.
Yeah, you ran through the games basically from the sports page. I have like a minute 30 already broken down from the sports page.
That was
listen
an hour
to me.
50 minutes ago,
we have been slaying the dragon doing the show for 20 plus years. We would never. Fathom going out doing 10 shots on a Thursday night and then coming in on a Friday drunk and or hungover.
I know. I'm young.
You're barely
I'm wild,
clinging on to a job and you're going out and you're drinking until the wee hours.
How much money do you have in your account right now?
Well, we just got paid.
Before you got paid?
Before I got paid, it was $230.
Yeah, $230. And how much was the Uber this morning?
It was like 35.
The available balance you
might as well just light your money on fire. Just light it.
Cents.
Just throw it away.
What
like
would
you throw away your money.
Should I have written CK an email? Hey, I'm drunk as hell. I can't get into work today?
No.
So
you don't
you
put yourself in a condition where you're forced to spend
$35. I had one or two drinks and then they just keep coming.
It's as bad as you buying the $100 jeans.
Lurch, it's a slippery slope. Once you start drinking, it's hard to turn them down.
Hey, look, you put yourself in the situation, bro. You did it. I don't know. I don't even know how you got out of bed. But
I think it takes pride
you do shots and you
got to
get up at 4:30. And that's just a horrible life choice.
Actually, you know what? It's all about ADs for him. See, to him, he's winning right now because he's getting the attention dollars.
I don't want the attention.
It's like our
terrible.
Pal Rom just sent a text and said that if he was one of those kids, he'd bring onions to the game the first year.
Right. Just
to get a TV. That's a good bit. I like it.
To get attention dollars.
Are you going to go out tonight, like too? Are you going to go out again tonight and do shots?
He did. No. I agree with Valdez.
You'll probably feel better today at about 6 o'clock. You might go out again.
I do agree with Valdez, though. The irony that he received praise for actually doing his job. And it was probably too much praise because that's what he should be doing videos. That's his job. But he put them on Facebook and he put them on Twitter. He actually seemed to have some initiative to then back it up with, I need to take an Uber to work. I'm hammered. I'm throwing up in the bathroom during the show.
Yeah, I hope you lose your job.
I mean, I give him a slight modicum of credit for showing up.
Right. Thank you.
But
Cake.
Slight mention. Remember I said slight.
Right.
But you shouldn't have put yourself in a situation where you had to. You see, you're too young and stupid to turn down shots. Are you 25?
Yeah. He's not even that young anymore.
Yeah, young isn't the best bailout for you.
You were married at his age.
Well, I'm a responsible person. He's a donk.
Can you imagine that? He was married at your age.
Yeah, that's not going to happen to me. I got sice for some nurse named Marissa and kept talking to her and kept drinking. And I planned to go home at 10:30 as soon as the frickin' Nevada game ended.
Will you get 4 videos up today like you did on Wednesday?
How many shots did you do in between the start of the Nevada game and the end of the Nevada game?
Probably 6.
You did 6 shots in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, you were done skiing.
Hey, you know what we should have him do today? We should have him post
run 5 miles.
No, we should have him post a video for every shot he had. Have him do 10 videos today.
I mean, unlike the junkies, though, I can stay past 10 a.m. and grind out the work.
Don't turn the guns on us because you stayed out till 3 in the morning.
I'll be out here at 9:58.
Oh, yeah. 9:57, maybe.
Yes.
Did you already talk to Colette?
No, but I'm going to have you do that for
me. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, thank you.
I can do that, you know.
Hey, look, you got to be on the ball because Jim Norton's going to be in studio, so you can meet some videos of him. Lapis is going to be good, and Feinstein's going to be good. And you still owe us the sports page video from the 6 o'clock hour, apparently.
Yeah, I'll get it done. You can check it out on our YouTube page.
Which is?
Just YouTube, 106.7 The Fan. And then you should subscribe. Terrible.
He's the worst plugger.
God.
All right, that's Adam. He apparently has thrown up 4 times this morning and took an Uber to work.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
Keep doing 10 shots during a weekday.
But he's here.
It's a terrible idea.
As Drab said, he has yet to accomplish what he's supposed to do. But he's claiming it is coming soon. At Junks Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/TheJunks on Facebook. You can see AY's videos coming up shortly. All right. We got a packed final 2 hours. John Feinstein is joining us next. Friday's Feinstein, then Jim Norton at 8:20 right here in studio on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.